It's a fairly common lament that there never seems to be enough time. The pressure on time never seems to let up. There's always something more that needs to be done. Many lament the lack of time for rest, for the family, for reading, or just for kicking up the leaves, or watching the sunset. The demands on time are relentless. And maybe you said, I could really do with another day in the week. Things have piled up that need to be completed. We're going to look this evening at a passage which tells us that in His mercy, God has provided the remedy. And there is one day out of seven in which we may find all of those things that we know we need and rest in His grace. He has given us a rhythm of rest and work, six of work to one of rest. I want to consider the blessings of this day. Notice how it is put here in Isaiah. He doesn't just say, think of the blessings of this day. He doesn't say this is a special day. Those are true things. He says, call the Sabbath a delight. It's a very strong word. To delight in something means you're drawn out towards it. You're eagerly reaching for it. You go into the restaurant and look down the menu, and there is that dish, that meat that you really love, in just the way you love it. And you choose it from the menu, and you sit with keen anticipation. That's the kind of meat you desire. Or you're going on a journey to some favorite spot, and you look forward to it so keenly. Your desire goes out to it. In this passage, the Lord's word through Isaiah says, call the Sabbath a delight. If you do that, there will be rich blessing in your life. So what will it mean to call the Sabbath a delight? It will mean, first of all, that we will receive it joyfully, because this day is a gift. The Sabbath, Jesus said, was made for man. It's a sovereign gift. God, in His goodness, has given 7 days for work and the differing responsibilities of life, and one day for rest. It's a sovereign gift. It's a wise gift, because He knows that we need it. He knows that we, His creatures, require this day for rest, free from the pressure of work. We need it for our well-being. It is also a gracious gift. The Puritan Thomas Watson suggests that in giving us this day, God is saying, I am not a hard master. I do not grudge you time to look after your calling and to get an estate, to build up your savings, in other words. I've given you 6 days to do all your work, and have taken just one to myself. I might have reserved six for myself and allowed you only one. But I have given you six for your work and your calling, and have taken just one for my service. A gracious gift. Here's a day when we don't have to work in normal employment. We don't even have to talk about our normal employment to fill our minds with business matters or think about exams or what needs to be done in the garden or what's next on the shopping list. Notice that he says, if you call the Sabbath a delight and honor it by not speaking idle words. What a blessing is given to us in this day of rest. The fourth commandment says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is a day, on it you shall not do any work. Some writers have suggested that this commandment is the world's first workers' bill of rights. You see, in the ancient world, there was a sharp division between the master and the slave. And the master had all the rights and the slave had none of the rights. But in God's social order, work and rest are not divided along class lines. Everyone should work and everyone should rest. The gift of this day of rest is for all men. When Jesus said, the Sabbath is made for man, he used the plural. It's for the whole of humanity. And isn't it interesting how the commandment actually says it's for beasts of burden as well? They need rest. Do we see the graciousness of this gift? A blessing from God who knows what his creatures need. To call it a delight will mean that we receive it with joy. Do you look forward to this returning day of rest? Do you give thanks for it? Does it bring you delight that this is the opportunity to leave aside the legitimate concerns of the rest of the week and rest in the grace of God? This is a day to step out of the frenzy, to stop buying and selling, and stop worrying about profit margins. And yet not many call this day a delight, certainly not in the way this passage is speaking of it. For most people, this is just part of the weekend. This is a day for me. This is a great day for things I need to catch up with or ways in which I can enjoy myself. This is a day for me. Bill Gates, the billionaire owner of Microsoft, was once asked why he did not believe in God. And he said, in terms of the allocation of my time resources, I'm sorry that's a bit confused, but he is American. You could put it simpler, but that's how he put it. In terms of the allocation of my time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Well, that is really unbelievably blind, isn't it? That is materialism capturing someone and holding them like a slave. But he doesn't, of course, think that. But many are like that, aren't they? They do not see the blessing of the day. They're like the little boy walking through the park on the path, alongside which there are all those lovely flower beds, and they're just coming out in bloom. And he's going to play football over there with his friends in the park. And to get there as quickly as possible, He thinks nothing of walking across the flower beds. He sees nothing there of beauty or of worth. And that's how many treat this day. They see in it nothing in which to delight. The car park in Tesco's is full. The shopping trolleys are laden. The stadium is filled with fans. Do you sometimes think, so is that the best you can do? Is that it? Is that the best you can do on this day which God has given? This is a day to step back from the ordinary, everyday routine. Concentrate on the things which belong to our eternal peace. You see, the word Sabbath means to cease or to rest. To call it a delight will mean we receive it joyfully. It means, secondly, that we will guard it jealously. Because I do not want to miss the benefit that God has given in this day. Nehemiah found that the people in Jerusalem, after he was repairing the walls and the city was being restored again, began to profane the Sabbath. Ordinary commerce was being carried out. The traders who arrived in the city from outside found there was a ready market. People were only too keen to buy. And Nehemiah was greatly upset, and he was the governor. And he took action. Very dramatic action. He closed the gates of the city. He barred them. He says, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. He was the government, of course. We can't do that. We can't drive our cars across the entrance into the shopping center car park. But Nehemiah was the government, and he could do that. But there is something there, isn't there, that does come as a personal application to us. In a sense, we have to bar the gates for ourselves. We have to do that and bar the gates against the pressures of our culture. It is increasingly trying to rob us of this good day. It dangles before us the open shops, the sporting events, the great finals, the things that everyone is talking about, which the media hypes up and makes you think you're going to really miss out if you don't see this or go here or participate. Our culture keeps trying to drag us into its way of thinking. And we need to bar the gates for ourselves against that materialism and that hedonism. We also need to bar the gates for ourselves against legalism. Like the Pharisees, who had, you know, that multitude of laws about the Sabbath, which made it a real burden. An unhappy day, the very opposite of what it's meant to be. Now, I think that the danger is more from materialism and hedonism than it is from legalism. I know that you often hear Christians saying, are we not in danger of becoming legalistic? Well, yes, but not nearly such a great danger as becoming materialistic and hedonistic. But the gates must be barred against the things that threaten our blessing from this day. Thirdly, if we call this day a delight, we will approach it thoughtfully. The Puritans used to call the Sabbath the market day of the soul. That's an interesting term. Saturday's here, you come into Newton Ards, and that's the market day, and everybody's in the square and doing business. And Puritan said, the Sabbath is the market day for the soul. In other words, this is the day for transacting spiritual business and for trading in the currency of heaven. This is a day for our spiritual good and therefore primarily for worship, set apart for God and His glory. Have you noticed in this passage twice it is called My Holy Day? My Holy Day. It's given for your good and benefit, that is true. But it's My Holy Day. And therefore, worship is central to the use of the day. And we delight in it when we see that. We can worship in private, of course. Read the Word on our own. Pray for things that we haven't been able to pray for in the previous week. Read a really helpful, nourishing book. Why not set aside a book to read on the Lord's Day afternoon? Primarily, of course, it's for corporate worship. In the book of Leviticus, the Sabbath is called a holy convocation. God's people meeting together. And this was certainly the pattern followed by the Lord Jesus. He attended the weekly services in the synagogue. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, Luke records. Corporate worship. The presence of the whole congregation together is a way in which every believer can be present and accounted for in the roll call of the kingdom of God. Call it a delight, because it is a delight to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ, joining your hearts with their hearts as you lift up your praise to God. Learning with them as you hear His word. Approaching thoughtfully will prompt us to prepare for Sabbath. We know when it will come. We know that after Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then comes the Lord's Day. We know when it will come. It returns each week. The day to gather for worship. The most important activity a human being can engage in. Should we not prepare? Do we think it's important, for example, to get a good night's rest on Saturday? So that when you come to worship God, the most important activity in which you will ever engage, you'll not be tired and dozy and find it hard to keep your eyes open and your brain engaged. Does that not sound reasonable? Thomas Watson again says this: when Saturday evening approaches, sound a retreat. Call your minds off from the world and summon your thoughts together to think of the great work of the approaching day, the work of worship. Evening preparations will be like the tuning of an instrument. It will fit your heart for the duties of the coming Sabbath. For several years, we've had a prayer meeting on Saturday night. And I know that's not perhaps the most suitable for many people. I can understand that may well be for legitimate reason. But It's a great preparation. We meet to pray for blessing to come from heaven on the Sabbath day, the next day. But it's a great preparation of your own heart. And why not, even if you can't be together, take a little time just to prepare your heart for the Lord's Day. Approaching it thoughtfully will mean, of course, as well, reflecting on the day's experience as it comes to a close. Not just before it arrives, but when it's ended. Do we ever do that? Do you sometimes think about the seed falling onto the hard wayside and Satan comes and snatches it away? And we sometimes allow that to happen because after the seed has reached us, we turn away and think about all sorts of anything else. Do we think back over this Lord's Day and what we've heard and what we've sung and the conversations we've had? Someone has said, what comes before worship and what follows it are important to God and to man. Finally, if we call the Sabbath a delight, we will honor it gladly. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's Day honorable, how will you honor it? If you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words. Clearly, the people in Isaiah's day had not been doing that. They had become really careless about this special day. And this chapter is calling them to reformation, back to what they should be like. My holy day. Honor it by not going your own way. Many Christians still want to know what they can and cannot do on a Sunday. Would it be all right to watch TV? Would it be all right to read the papers? Do you think it would be all right to play a board game or listen to classic FM? But you see, when you start asking that kind of question, it's usually because we want to know what we can get away with, how far we can go, what's the least we can do to keep the day honorable. And we have really missed the point. And maybe we're saying something about our spiritual appetite. Because God is calling us away from our own business to transact the most important business of all, to glorify Him in worship and obedience. Honor it gladly by not going your own way, we're told. Honor it gladly by finding your delight in the Lord. Chief delight of the day is to be in God Himself. And the more we delight in Him, the more willing we are to keep His day holy. And you'll notice here there seems to be an inseparable connection between calling the Sabbath a delight and experiencing the blessing of God. If you call the Sabbath a delight, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and feast on the inheritance of Jacob. You see, there seems to be, isn't there, an inseparable connection between calling the Sabbath a delight and discovering the blessings of God. Many of you probably learned a little rhyme. A Sabbath well spent brings a week of content and joy, strength for the toils of tomorrow. A Sabbath profaned, whatever may be gained, is a certain forerunner of sorrow. It's a simple rhyme. There's a great deal of wisdom and truth in it. Call the Sabbath a delight. By not going your own way, by finding your delight in the Lord, by following the example of the Lord Jesus, we have seen that for Him worship is central to this day, and also mercy is vital. It was on the Sabbath He performed many miracles. This is a day to visit the sick, encourage the lonely, show mercy in a whole range of ways. Call the Sabbath a delight. The Sabbath, of course, is now the Lord's Day. The American professor B.B. Warfield said, "Christ took the Sabbath into the grave with Him and brought the Lord's Day out of the grave with Him on the resurrection morning." So the apostles observed that first day was the day of worship and rest, the day in which Jesus rose from the dead, as we also do. You see, the Sabbath is fulfilled in Him. In Christ, the writer to the Hebrews says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from His work as God did from His. The Sabbath is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the salvation which He has accomplished, in the rest which He gives to those who believe in Him, in the eternal life which is His gift to all who trust Him. That's its fulfillment. That's where it's pointing. That's where it's leading. And if we don't see that part of it, we'll never be able to call it a delight. J.C. Ryle once said, "Use your Sabbaths as stepping stones to heaven until you've passed them all and have safely arrived there." He said, each returning Lord's Day is a significant step on your spiritual pilgrimage to life eternal. There is always, there will always be great reason, won't there, to call the Sabbath a delight. May God enable us to do that in a world which disregards it, ignores it, thinks so little of it, runs across the flower bed without noticing the blooms. May God enable us to follow this lovely direction of His Word. Then you will find your joy in Him. Let us pray.